to Genesis chapter 5. Great to have you here. Looking forward to this study of Genesis. And we're basically this morning starting from chapter 11 and going to take some time to work through some infragenealogies, which sounds pretty boring, but it's part of the Word of God. And there are some things I think we can really learn from this that will help us in understanding the call of Abram, or we might know him as Abraham, a little more clearly. And so that's what I'm hoping to address this morning. Let's begin by having a word of prayer, and then we'll work our way through the Sunday school. Oh, by the way, this evening is going to be really more like a workshop. I'm going to use a specific topic. It's on parenting. I'm going to be using a specific topic of cheating and how to get to the heart of cheating. But that can we can also take those valuable lessons from that and apply it in many different areas, not just with children, but with adults as well. The lessons on, I forget what the title is exactly, Exposing the Heart, I think is what it's called. And I got it all done, everything's printed up, but Exposing the Heart, I believe it is. But we're going to specifically use the example of cheating and exposing the heart of the cheater. And so tonight's going to really be a workshop, a number of questions and scriptures that I have put together for that. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm just really grateful for how you helped Mr. Berman through this surgery. We are praying for him, and I think one of the comments that he made was he felt he just could tell your people were praying. And thank you for sustaining and strengthening him. We do pray for Brother Barclay. We also pray for Eileen and her battle, Eileen Brandt, and her physical battle with the cancer. Father, many others we could mention going through physical struggles. Millie really wanting to be out the services, not feeling well. Gene Bickle really struggling morning after morning and often desiring to come and just not having the energy to do so. Or like today, probably the weather will keep her from coming this morning. And so, Father, pray for these that are missing from the body of Christ, but still needing ministered to. Would you help them today, Father, and comfort them by your presence. Now guide in the time that we have together in the Sunday school hour. May we practically study and understand your word, gain some understanding of it, and benefit by its study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got two ideas here that I'd like to bring across this morning. Overall, we're looking at the Genesis of Israel, which means the beginning of Israel. And we're going to look at how Israel began. But I want to back up a little bit and learn some lessons from the genealogy. So first of all, I have the conclusions made from the genealogies of Genesis 5 and 11. And one of the ways that people break the book of Genesis down in divisions is by its genealogies. And they're going to go by Genesis 1 through 4 is one section. And then you have the genealogy of Adam. And then you're starting in chapter 5 and going to the next section into chapter 11. And then the next set of genealogies. I think there was another genealogy set earlier than that, the genealogy of Noah. But I want us to see that there are some interesting differences between the chapter 5 genealogy than the chapter 11. Just follow along with me. I'm going to kind of be skipping. In fact, skipping a couple verses at a time. Let's begin in chapter 5, verse 5. All the days of Adam lived were, can you imagine this? 937 years. Go back, and I know things are progressing differently now than they were then, but go back in our history 937 years and think of all the changes you would have lived through. And it would have seemed like yesterday when cars were made, just because of the time frame here. But he lived 937 years before he died. Look at verse number 8. His son Seth, he lived 912 years. The days of Canaan were 910 years. Mahalalel, 895 years in chapter verse 17. I'm sorry, I've been forgetting to give you the references. Jared, I didn't know you're nearly this old, Jared. But verse 20 says that Jared, now this is one of the oldest men ever to live in the Bible. Who was the oldest? Methuselah, how many years did he live? 969, so just 7 years shy of that is Jared, and then his son Enoch, in verse 23, he lived to be 365 years. Now, why did he only live to be 365? God took him, and Enoch was not, for God took him. So there isn't a huge discrepancy here or question here. There was simply a taking away here. God took him. And then verse number 24 goes on to say, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Verse 27, all the days of Methuselah, there it is, 969 years. All the days of Lamech in verse number 31 is 777 years. And if you look in verse 32 yet, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, he ended up living 950 years. And so by the time he was done having children, he was 500. Can you imagine that? And he ended up living to be 950 years of age. But let's jump over to chapter 11 with me. Genesis chapter 11. We're looking at the genealogies and some things we can learn, because what we're going to learn from the genealogy, let me go back a second. Don't turn back, but if you go back, you were hearing numbers 962, 969, 910, 932, I believe it was. So the basic life expectancy was around 900 plus years. The one that really stood out in the crowd was Enoch, and God took him. Probably would have lived in his 900s as well. The last one, Lamech, was 777 years, but again, almost all of them were 900 years or more. Well, in chapter 11, it's going to go a steady decline from 500 down to about 100 years life expectancy. Look at verse number 11. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Go down to verse 32. The days of Terah, were 205 years. And so there was a great decline during this time. And in fact, why? We ought to know why. Why was there a decline from people on the average living to be 900 years? And now, there isn't really an average. Well, I shouldn't say there's not an average, but there's not very long. It seemed like everyone, it was shorter and shorter. Why is there an automatic decline? Somebody help me out here. Okay, Brother Dave. Yeah, and you said something about the atmospheric pressure. The atmosphere had probably at least a double atmospheric pressure. Somebody else want to add to this? Good answer, Brother Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so they have, they talked about Brother Walter Blimline putting him in a hyperbaric chamber because of his gangrene. Now, insurance wouldn't cover that. Isn't that interesting? Of course not. We won't go there. But before the flood, there was the dew coming up, and there was like this canopy. It's often called a canopy theory because we don't fully understand and have all the disclosure to it. Look in Genesis chapter 1 a second. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6. Where God said something interesting. We read through and don't give probably a lot of thought to it. But God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. So there was this dividing of the waters, and there were waters now above this firmament and there were waters now beneath. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, Genesis. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. So God was allowing things to grow almost in what would maybe be called a terrarium. Did you ever have a terrarium? I always liked those things. And usually took some type of a bowl or even like a fish tank. And you put various plants in it and then keep that moisture. And then we always put saran wrap over it just because there's better things today, I'm sure. But we always put like a saran wrap and it would always have like moisture dripping off of it. Do you remember that type of thing? And the plants would really grow in there. Well, God had never caused it to rain. So there was just like a canopy. And look at chapter 6 now. Chapter 6 and verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So God's saying, now I'm going to bring the rain. And chapter 7, you're really close to it, chapter 7, verse 4, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days, 40 nights. Look at chapter 8, and verse 2. It says, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And so, when the flood actually took place, not only did it rain, but water was still trying to push up from the ground. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and he said it was 6 days after the last rain that the spring in his yard was still bubbling up and producing water out of the ground. I went to the up to Indiantown Gap on Wednesday. Remember it rained last Friday, the torrential rain, and closed some roads. The road was still covered on the way to Indiantown on Wednesday, 5 days later. There was still 3 inches of water over the road in one of the roads that went. And so, but God did both. He not only then allowed the waters to come up from the ground, but he added the rain from heaven to make this flood. And so the reason we are going to see or note that there would be a huge drop. And if you follow through, I'm not going to take the time to read all the verses I did earlier this week. You're going to see he lived 500 years, he lived 400 years, and he lived about 300 years, and he lived about 200 years, and he lived about 100 years. And so there was this steady decrease or decline in the life expectancy. And again, that's why there was a change before the flood, known for its dinosaurs. After the flood, there were dinosaurs, but they didn't live nearly as long, so they didn't get nearly as big. They would always be growing as long as they lived. If you don't know, wonder more about dinosaurs in the Bible, I can get you information on that. The Bible definitely talks about dinosaurs several times in Job, in Psalms, and other passages as well. And so There's this steady decline then in life expectancy between chapters 5 and chapter 11, and the reason was the canopy was broken at the flood. Now also, the Bible now begins to focus on a certain line. The three sons of Noah, what were their names? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now the key line is going to be which one? Shem. Shem is the line actually the Bible is going to follow. And really, from Genesis chapter 11 through, let's say, John chapter 21, go the whole way to the end of the Gospels, it's about the line of Shem. Yeah, we would know about Abraham, because he would end up being the genesis or the father of the children of Israel. But Abram came out of the line of Shem. And so really, the majority of the Bible from Genesis 11 through the end of the Gospels is about the line of Shem, or about the Jewish nation. Let me say it that way. And so God's going to focus now his attention on one family and how it's produced and brought through. I want you now to turn back to Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to get there in a second. Now, in Genesis chapters 1 through 11, it covers about 2,000 years. In Genesis 12 through 50, it covers 350 years. Wow, we were really going fast. All of a sudden, God said to keep a big campus. If you have an interest, you might have a little interest, you might have a lot, but a lot of interest generally, the Jewish people. So when we get to the understanding the call of Abraham using genealogies, the second point, this is often a little bit debated. This is a lot confusing, I think. And there's three reasons why I believe this call of Abram to leave Ur of Chaldees brings about confusion. There's three reasons why. Number one, I think it's because of the order of the names. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Secondly, when you read the end of chapter 11, go right into chapter 12, it adds some confusion. And thirdly, I think misunderstanding Terah's age at the point in which Abram left Haran at that time. So those three things are going to add to some confusion. I'm going to try to clear that up with the time spent in the rest of Sunday school this morning. Look at verse 27 of chapter 11. One of the reasons I think we confuse and don't always have nailed down when exactly these are Haran and Haran. I think typically we find it longest. Actually, because it is in that is that Japheth's the oldest and Shem's the youngest. So what we understand in Israel's genealogy, very often they give the youngest first and the oldest last. More evidence to that is ultimately Nahor, who's the middle, ends up marrying the daughter of Haran. So he married his brother's daughter. Now, before you start making faces, it was so early in history, there wasn't a taboo to that, and there wasn't a producing genetics that were off. And so it was actually kind of common early on to that, that they would marry someone within their own family. It seemed right. They had a family that was close, and so they began to marry one another. And so some more evidence to that would be the fact that Nahor would end up marrying Haran's daughter. Lot then ended up being somewhat, I think, close in age, even to Abram. Would go along with Abram, later known as Abraham. And so these are some of the evidence. Again, sometimes I think we get the when he left Ur and when he left Haran confused, because we kind of picture Abram to be the oldest and when he's actually the youngest. When you consider the beginning of chapter 12, well, let's look at what chapter 12, verse 1 says. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Sounds like, well, this happens right after the events of chapter 11. What's at the end of chapter 11? Terah died, right? And how old is he? 205. How old's Abram at this point? Look a little further in chapter 12. Let's go a couple more verses. 75. I heard it. So if you put Abram leaving when Terah died, that Abram. Oh man, math. You can get your phones out right now if you want to, okay? 130, okay? Enough for math. No more math, okay? But we have him at 130. Let that stick in your mind a second. We'll come back to it a little bit later. Look at chapter 15 a second. I want to establish this fact that Abram was called from Ur of Chaldees. Look at Genesis 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land of Ur of Chaldees to give you the land to inherit it. Go ahead and keep your... Well, you don't have to keep your hand. Nehemiah, very last minute of the Nehemiah, did notice him of Abram of the name of return. Acts chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse... The glory he was in, he be in the church, set out like Chaldees before he was. So he was called all the way back into Ur of Chaldees. But his final urging came while he was in Haran. He was in Haran and had been there for a period of time. So with those facts kind of established, let's go back to chapter 11 of Genesis. Again, we're in Sunday school, and this is a little schoolish. I apologize, but I want to, if we're going to understand the genesis of Israel, it'd be good to have a really good foundation here. And so, when you read the last verse of chapter 11 and says the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran, now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred." Wait a second. The call didn't begin in Haran. The call began in Mesopotamia, back in Ur of Chaldees. So it sounds like he wasn't called until after his father died, right? That's what it sounds like. So he departed in verse 4 of chapter 12. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so, wait a second. If Abram was called in Ur of Chaldees, was departing at 75 from Haran, he wasn't just leaving after his dad died. He was leaving far before then. And in actuality, he was probably about 70 years old in looking at the genealogies when he actually left. Let's go in chapter 11 here a little bit. Again, we're still a little schoolish. My apologies. But what I'm trying to establish here is exactly how did this all fit together? Because when I was reading my Bible for years, I was really confused by that. Well, I didn't know I was confused. I was just reading and thinking, okay, his dad died, and now at 75 years old, he leaves Haran, and now he's going on. But the reality of it was, he was called much earlier, and he's now 75, and when he left, but his dad didn't die until he was 205, and so that was a number of years later. Let's look. These are the generations. Verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was how many years old? He was 100 years old when he begat Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood. So we got a lot of information right there. God is helping us to have all kind of time frame. This happened 2 years after the flood. This is how old he was. This is when he begat this son. Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years. Look in verse 12. How old was Arphaxad when he had his first child? He was 35. And when he begat Selah, how old was Selah when he had a child? Verse 14. 30. His child was Eber. How old was Eber when he had a child? He was 34. 4 and 30 years, verse 16. Verse 18, Peleg was his son, and how old was he when he began to have children? So he was 30. Reu was 2 and 30 years old. In verse 20, his son Serug was 30 years. Nahor was 9 and 12. So they're having children about how old? Okay. And I didn't discover this till reading genealogies. You think you get nothing out of genealogies? But I was always thinking, all right, Terah was 205 when he died, and that's when Abram left. But that would have made Abram 130 years old when he had Abram. Wait a second. People are on the average having them when they were how old? In their 30s. Now we don't want to talk about when it's beginning, but now beginning often late teens, 20s. And we would say 30s, getting fairly old to have children, and 40s, probably not going to be able to have children, but don't tell Jack and Anne that, because their daughter had a child, two children in her 40s. Also, Abram was how old and beyond able to have children? So, yeah, he's 80, thinking this is, this isn't going to happen. 90, too late. In fact, even the Bible says it was too late. Hebrews, don't turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, I have the verse already. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. All of a sudden I just began to scratch. Wait a second, I always thought that Abram left when his dad died, so he was 75 when his dad died and left Haran at that point, and I started doing the math. And no, it couldn't be that way. It sounds that way in reading, does it not? Sounds like Terah dies, so Abraham leaves. What's the problem with that? So I have a couple of problems with that. What's the problem with thinking when Terah dies, Abram leaves? What's some of the problems with that? Somebody have any information? Becky. Is that, do you bid on an auction like that as well, Becky? Go ahead.
Two different leaves. He leaves Ur-Kaldi.
Right.
He leaves Haran. The Bible only tells us that his age was 95 when he left Haran.
Correct.
It doesn't tell us how old he was when he left
Ur-Kaldi. Correct.
Also, his father went with him from Ur-Kaldi to Haran. Where there's a problem in that, I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not sure why that's a problem.
Look at chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. He is told to leave what?
His kindred.
Okay. So that's assuming his kindred's still alive, correct? He was called to leave his father and told again. So it would assume his father's still alive. And so if we put it that his father passed and then he left, it's really not in line with the Word of God, and taking all the verses together and some of them that I read earlier, it has to assume he left actually earlier than that. Any other comments before I move forward? Brother Donnie? Correct. God had called him to leave, and he ultimately didn't leave on his own. I'm not sure whose urging that may have been. Can you imagine? Put yourself back in those days. Terah might have thought, wow, you're going on this journey, you don't really know where you're going, because that's what it says of Abram in Hebrews chapter 11, not knowing whither he went. Hey, why don't you let us go along with you? And so more of the family ends. I don't know. I don't know who initiates that conversation. We don't need to know. But the reality of it is they all go toward Haran, which is named for his one son, who ultimately has died. And so there comes Lot, and there comes Nahor, there comes Abram, and their families with them. And all of a sudden they get here to Haran, and they just stay there. And so God is actually going to have to reissue maybe a call, you might say, or an encouragement. Hey, you need to leave your father, your kindred, and come into the land that I want to show you. Why? Because he got delayed in Haran. By the way, the word Haran means what? I have it in your notes. It means delay. And what happened? He was on track, we might say, to the will of God and got delayed. And if I remember correctly, I haven't looked at this for a while, but even Haran was a little bit out of the way. Now, let's go back to a lesson I taught earlier in Sunday school about this, and we found this most notably right before the Tower of Babel. When a genealogy is given, it often gives history that goes beyond later into the book. And this is exactly what's happened to the genealogy of chapter 11. The death of Haran doesn't happen until after chapter 12, probably after chapter 15. Maybe even after chapter 17 of Genesis. The genealogy lists not only give who begat who, but also give some history that's about to come. And you just have to understand that when you're reading it. When you're reading through the genealogies, you're going to read that something happened, and all of a sudden you're reading and it's before that happened. That's because what Jewish people often do in their genealogies is not only include who gave birth to what child at what age, because that's all important to them, but some of the historical events that were going on at the time. So as we're reading through, it sounds like Terah dies and Abram leaves. That's not true at all. Abram left earlier, and he had left a number of years before his father had passed away. And part of that we understand merely by the fact of when they were having children at the time. I would say Terah was probably around, when we look at the genealogies, it says that Terah was 70 years old when he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And so it appeared like he was done having children at least by age 70. And so he had children around age 70. Then Abram was 75. So that makes Terah about 145 when Abram left Haran. Sorry, a lot of math. But depending on who you read, it's really confusing when all this family started. And I believe what God had to do then is ultimately reissue a call. Now, chapter 12 and verse 1, let's go back there. We're done Sunday school, basically. And what we're ultimately learning is Abram delayed his obedience. Even a man of faith delayed his obedience. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred's house and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I honestly don't know if that's referring to Haran or Ur of Chaldees. I'm leaning more toward Ur of Chaldees. But it could be, okay, you've delayed long enough in Haran, it's time to move on. Leave your father's house, because his father was still living. So that verse 1 of chapter 12 could be a reference to Ur of Chaldees, giving us the initial call, or it could be the second call of Abram, and there's great men that believe both things. And so either side I choose, I would put myself in the seat of many great men. It's a possibility it could be referred to either, because at either time he had to leave his father's house unto the place that the Lord would call him. He's going to ultimately then go and establish this nation, and we're going to see how God establishes the nation of Israel. There are two types of covenants. There are conditional and unconditional. What's the difference? What's the difference between a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant? Yeah, Brother Jim.
Well, I believe conditional is one that God prescribes to her. The other is for both sides.
Okay. Let's do the opposite. An unconditional covenant means God's going to do it no matter what. A conditional covenant means man has to fulfill certain obligations for God to fulfill his. We are going to find out that his covenant to establish a nation called Israel is unconditional. God's doing it on his own. In fact, that's why when we get into chapter 15 and when God establishes a covenant, what's Abram doing? Same thing Adam was doing when God created Eve. What were they doing? What was it? Yeah, is that what he really means? Yeah, that's what I really mean. Sleeping. God put Adam to sleep when he created Eve. God put Abram to sleep when he created his covenant of Israel. And we're going to see that next week as we get into Sunday school. Dear Father,